See, sometimes we spend $40 on this nice leather-bound Bible. It's not going to do it. You can't keep the sword on the coffee table. You can't carry it and never unsheathe it. No, doesn't matter if you got little tabs on where all the books should be. It ain't going to help you unless you know how to use it. What if you're in war and they're swinging swords and you're right in the middle of it and you say, stop, stop, stop.
I paid $42 for mine.
What do you think's going to happen? Are you dead?
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. For the past 2 days, Pastor Wayne has been taking us through the various weapons of our warfare, the weapons that God has given us to defeat the enemy. Today, we're going to be looking at the final two, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. That'll be coming up in just a moment in a message entitled, How to Dress as a Citizen of Heaven. But today, we have a few extra minutes on the program, so we're going to take you into Farrington High School Auditorium and let you experience a little bit of our worship service.
The greatest inheritance that has been given us is not riches in a bank or accumulations possessed. The greatest inheritance given to us is a likeness with our Lord, so that when people see us, we remind them of Christ. Because the people in this world need to see Jesus a whole lot more than they need to see anything else. And the likeness that God gives to us is our greatest inheritance. If we miss that, we miss. We just miss. And one of the things God speaks about in the book of Corinthians is, says, as we behold him as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are being changed from glory to glory into his image. It's saying as you behold the Lord, there's a transformation that's taking place. And one of the ways we can behold him is in worship, as you just behold the goodness of God, and there's a transformation that takes place. And then God speaks about another way that is to be able to trust and obey him, because he knows the way. And as we obey and trust, then we begin to walk side by side with him. It's called a relationship. In this hymn, it's an ageless hymn, it talks about that, trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. And we're going to talk about the huge purpose attached to obedience. Why does God want us to obey him? Why? There's a huge purpose. We're going to talk about that. But before we do, let's learn the Hawaiian chorus of this age-old hymn, Trust and Obey. And it'll come up on the screen, and let's try it. It goes like this. Ke ala no ne e haoli mau ai e paulele a ho'olohe mau kakoya Yesu. You got that, huh? Yeah. You already know that. Let's try it. Ready? Ke ala no ne. Ke ala no ne. E haoli mau ai. E paulele a ho'olohe. Mau kakoia Yesu. Try it again. Ke ala. Ke ala.
Pastor Wayne with the conclusion of the message, How to Dress as a Citizen of Heaven.
And then the fifth piece is an interesting one. It's called a helmet of salvation. Now let me ask you, what do you think the helmet protects? Yeah, your brain, your mind, your head. And that's what Paul is speaking of, the helmet of salvation. Now, it's going to protect your thoughts and your mind's salvation. Now, I want you to hear this very carefully. Satan is a headhunter. Your unguarded desires will be his weapons, and your imagination is his trophy. If he can get your imagination, that's his trophy. If he can capture, Satan is a headhunter. Your unguarded desires, because we all have desires, unguarded desires will be his weapons. Your imagination is his trophy. You see, what he's saying here is this. Number five, the helmet, keeping our imagination from being corrupted. Keeping our imagination from being corrupted. Let's read what the scripture says in Romans 8. Go. If your sinful nature controls your mind, there is death. But if the Holy Spirit controls your mind, there is life and peace. What if tomorrow 1,000 or more X-rated theaters opened up in this city and the price was free and all children were invited? Would that bother you, parents? Yeah, it would. But the possibility and the capability of that lies right in this room. For right here, our cranium is a modern-day theater with surround sound. And your unguarded desires run the projectors. And your imagination is the film. And we can be sitting in these theaters all day and nobody knows. And the Bible is saying the helmet of salvation must be on your head so that you guard and monitor your thoughts. In other words, these are no longer your thoughts. You use your imagination for the kingdom of God. So monitor your thoughts. Here's one of the best prayers you can pray in the morning. Here it is. Heavenly Father, may my thoughts please you today. Every thought. No, not my actions. My thoughts. Because if your thoughts please him, your actions will follow suit. But we all know that we can shuck and jive God by doing nice stuff for people, but our hearts are still wrong. We do it with wrong motives. The belt of truth isn't there. We can look real religious and Christian, but God is saying the devil can smell that duplicity and he'll nail you. This armor, this clothing has to be a part of who we are. So guard the imaginations of your mind. And just think, if we can use our imaginations correctly, do you know how powerful this church will be? Because look around, except for the human body in this place, everything was created first in somebody's imagination. The very fact that my voice is going over a lavalier microphone, put into digital signals, FM signals, back into analog, and that you hear it over these speaker systems, that started in somebody's imagination, created there, and then it was brought to pass. The video that captures this image and puts it on screen and outside and all of our satellites start in somebody's imagination. The glasses through which you are looking to give you better vision, that which is ticking on your wrist, the shoes that you wear, everything that you have on as clothing started in somebody's mind. Even the patterns of it started in somebody's imagination. That which you're sitting on, not your bottom, I mean the seat, the chairs, everything was started in somebody's imagination. And then it was brought to pass. You see, what God has done is that's part of his nature that he put into us. He created us in his image or imagination. And then he gave that to us. And look around. Now just think, the power of man's mind. If we can harness that for things of good, good night. This church would be powerful. That's why he says, put on the helmet of, use your mind for the things of God. And when you do, you'll be surprised how God can use the church in powerful ways to influence this world. Monitor your thoughts. One of the ways to do it is memorize scripture. That helps you shore up this head. I remember when I was a first Christian, so many things were coming into my mind. I'd be praying and swear words would come in. I'd be praying and lusty thoughts would come in the midst of prayer. And I thought, man, what is going on with this head? I wanted to beat it with sticks. And I thought, man, what is happening? And God is saying, your mind is loose. And you need to start memorizing scripture and putting scripture into your mind and memory, and it will tighten it up. And it will begin to develop a helmet of salvation, a wholeness. Best thing I did. So I began to memorize by putting scripture in areas of my life that I was weak in. I would find scripture in a topical help, and I'd write them down, keep it near me in my pocket in a 3x5 card. And that's a secret to memorizing. You got to keep it close to you so that when you're memorizing something and you say, oh, what is it now? Now, oh, I can't remember. You'll be able to just pull it out. So that when you're saying all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for, right there. If you don't have it near you, if it's in your briefcase or in your purse, forget it. You're done. It has to be near you so that you can just whip it out and put it back in. That's the secret of that. And so I began to memorize, and man, my brain just started to tighten up. Can I encourage you to put on the helmet of salvation and monitor your thoughts so that you'll begin to develop the mind of the last piece of armor that we're going to put on is your only offensive weapon. And it is, would you write it in number 6, Bible and prayer. The Bible and prayer are our offensive weapons. The rest are sort of defensive in preparation to the attacks of the enemy. The belt of truth, the shield of faith, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, those are all important. Feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But this one, the sword is called, the sword is the, what was it? The word of, everybody say word of God. Okay, so when I ask this question, hit it real good, all right? And we'll edit out the first part where we practice. And then, all right, here it is. The sword of the Spirit is the? Yeah. Now, prayer helps me to gain confidence to use it, but you better unsheath this. In other words, we've got to learn to use the Word of God. That's your only offensive weapon. The rest are defensive, but you will only be able to defeat the enemy when you learn to use the sword of the Spirit. Prayer gives you confidence, deftness, skill to use it, but you've got to unsheath it. And that's why the scripture says in Luke chapter 4, when the devil came against Jesus, he said, and let's read it, go. Jesus answered and said to the devil, it is, yeah, you got to unsheath it. See, sometimes we spend $40 on this nice leather-bound Bible. It's not going to do it. You can't keep the sword on the coffee table. You can't keep it on the wall. You can't carry it and never unsheath it. No, doesn't matter if you got little tabs on where all the books should be. It ain't going to help you unless you know how to use it. What if you're in war and they're swinging swords and you're right in the middle of it and you say, stop, stop, stop.
I paid $42 for mine.
What do you think is going to happen? Are you dead? You have to know how to use it. That's what gives you authority. Please, please listen. The biggest Mack truck, driven by the biggest Mack ugly, can be stopped by the smallest lady with the smallest voice who's wearing a police uniform. Because we're not talking about power, we're talking about authority. Because when she says stop, it's not her power or own authority. It's the authority of the government that stands behind her. And when you have the correct clothing or the armor of God and you understand what all of these things are for, when you say to the devil, stop, he understands the authority of the government of heaven stands behind you. And when you unsheath this sword, you defeat him, which means he's going to come against you, but you need to have it is written on your lips. He's going to come to you and say, I know your past. I know your family. I know your marriage. You're defeated. You're discouraged. No use trying. And you'll need to say, it is written, Philippians 4:13. It is written, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And also Isaiah 54 says, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. And 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. The devil will say, but you've already messed up. You already messed up. 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, you'll be faithful and just to forgive you your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And Proverbs 24:16 says, the righteous man falls seven times, but rises again. It is written. Ah, yeah, but your life is already messed up, Wayne. You're not going to have any future. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans not for your calamity, but for your welfare, in order that you might have a future and a hope. 2 Timothy 4 says, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the great King, will award to me on that day. And Hebrews 13:5 says this, for I am with you and I'll never forsake you. Oh, I'm going to send trials your way. You're going to be a Christian, but you're going to suffer, says the devil. How do you think about that? James 1 says, it is written, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. So devil, when you throw trials at me, I'm going to get better. I'm going to get more perfect. And he'll get frustrated. The devil will get frustrated and he'll say, but you ugly. And you say, Isaiah 61 says, he's given me beauty for ashes. And not only that, it doesn't matter what you say, devil, because John 8 says you're a liar and you're the father of all lies. And Revelation 12 says that we will overcome you by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And I am convinced that neither life nor death nor principalities, things present nor things to come, height nor depth or any other created thing will ever separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. It is written. And you stand against him. And it doesn't matter if the devil is the biggest, ugliest Mack driver you've ever seen. When he hears you unsheathe your sword and say, it is written, he stops and sees the government of heaven and recognizes you as a citizen and a sojourner. That's called the church. Amen. Amen. Let's stand. Thank you. Let's bow our heads as a church of the living God. People who are not ignorant of his schemes. Oh yeah, he's a prowling lion. But God says, put on the armor of God. That it's not just something you strap on and take off. It's something that it's who you are. And then use the sword of the Spirit. Begin to memorize. Find the areas of your life that he's been attacking. If it's anger or impatience, or he's trying to hit you through those side doors, find some scriptures and start to memorize those. So when they start to hit you, you answer them with the scripture. It is written. Jesus did that in Luke 4. How much more must we do that as well? And so God has provided everything that we need to be citizens and sojourners. Take it and strap it on until it becomes a part of who you are. And then the Bible says even the gates of hell won't prevail. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for being that protection about us, as the youth sang that song, be a fence, as it were, around us. Lord, we believe you for that. Thank you so much for letting us be people of confidence, of authority. Even though we don't have much power against the enemy, we have great authority because the government of heaven is vested in us. So we can say, it is written. And as we resist him, he must flee. It's based on your authority. But we've got to have that armor on so that all of those things that he strikes us with will fall idly by, because we understand how to dress as citizens of heaven. May we begin that today. Help us to have the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness to protect our hearts, shield of faith, a helmet, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and the sword of the Spirit with prayer. Lord, in doing so, we'll be representatives of the kingdom, citizens and sojourners. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank God with a clap offering, would you?
Jesus, be a fence. Oh, I want to be a fence. Hey, I want you to protect me. I want you to thank me as I travel along.
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled, How to Dress as a Citizen of Heaven. Thank you for joining us for Words of New Hope. For Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.